Well, I'm back online here with my Windows Media Sound Recorder because I couldn't figure out how to record this episode on Podomatic. My technology savvy is in a massive learning curve and in a disgruntled relationship with technology. I would much rather be playing Frisbee with someone live than to be playing in a room on a computer, to be quite frank. But here we are. This is Dan Hegerich. This is Do the Cure podcast. And I'm finding ways to bring content to you so that you can live a life that reduces and eliminates risk of coming into contact with or coming into experiencing chronic degenerative disease as part of your human experience. In my previous two podcasts, I'm laying down some of the framework of how I came here and how I got here to this moment in time. And it was through a lot of conscious suffering, not from tolerating suffering like most people are doing, or as I think Thoreau said, people who are living quiet, desperate lives or something like that. Quiet, they're living in a quiet desperation. Right? People are really, really tired and are really, really unhappy and put on a social mask, specifically or especially in the United States, where everything is good. Ask someone, how are you doing? Great, I'm fine, everything's okay, awesome. But usually that's just the social mask. Because statistically, things aren't going so well if you look at the health of Americans at large. If you listen to people clearly with an active hearing that you're actually present with people, but most people aren't present with listening to people and observing them. Because you are bogged down with your own troubles. Very difficult. So, Do the Cure is all about becoming inspired to take your life back. And your life is made up of two things in my framework for life. Health is the foundation to life. You argue with this all the time. You know what you want to be doing to improve the quality of your health. You know. But then you come in contact with a program that says, no, don't do that. Self-abuse yourself. No, don't eat healthy because that's bad. Let's get, I don't know, how do you want to, whatever you want to say it. You don't want to get healthy. Parts of you do. Parts of you want to show people that you're getting healthy or you go to the gym so that it can rationalize you eating junk food for the next 3 days and you'll work it off at the gym. Great, if you have vital reserves that you want to use towards, processing junk food, you have all that freedom to do that. But in my previous episode, I was laying down that illness and disease doesn't happen overnight. It's created. It's an expression of creation. You don't catch a cold, you create a cold. Cancer is not something people get. It's acquired by your actions. It's acquired by your ignorance and arrogance. It's acquired by the creative process. It's an expression of creation. I know firsthand, I had a terminal form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma many years ago, and I accepted it as a part of how did I get into this? How did this come to me? Why am I here? I started to analyze my life. How much junk food did I eat? How much alcohol did I drink to get drunk in order to avoid emotionality? How did I abuse myself and disrespect my body? So health is the foundation to life. Love is the purpose for living. Health is in the body. Healing is of the mind so that you can get on board with being love rather than the neediness of needing to be loved. And they're different. It's totally different. And I get it if you're in that state. I've been there. I was there a long time ago, and it took me a long time to get to where I am right now, 20 plus years. And that's why I'm coming out now to share that information, that journey a little bit. And hopefully, it will reach you in some way. All of life on the earth plane of living is an expression of creation. And you are the creator, at least at the very best, an absolute idealistic philosophy. At the very least, you're a co-creator, that you are co-creating your reality. And disease is part of that reality, but it's part of a culture. It's part of a society. It's a part of your family upbringing and way of living. Well, you're gonna die of something. You might as well have a heart attack. You might as well have cancer. You might as well suffer a great deal of pain and suffering along the way. So, Do the Cure is about an attitude. It's about a direction in which your choices lead you, because what you did today lays down the path for tomorrow or the tracks that you're living tomorrow, and how the quality of life will unfold for you tomorrow is how you what you did today to your body and to your mind. And the one that's in the driver's seat is either your own soul, your own awareness. And with that awareness, you can make choices, and choices that either serve you to grow or choices that serve to actually impede your growth and help lay down, I guess, those habits or enforce those habits or reinforce those habits that will bring on chronic degenerative disease in your life. Now, I get it's complicated in the world we live in. But that still doesn't allow you to abdicate your responsibility to your body and to your mind and to your own spirit and to the creative process. Dr. Lawrence Cloud, my first oncologist, asked me a very powerful question when I was 28, when I was there to see why am I so sick at 28? I could lift weights. I could bench press 300 pounds. I could do 50 push-ups, blah, blah, blah. I could do 25 chin-ups, blah, blah, blah. I had 16-inch, whatever, 14-inch biceps, blah, blah, blah. I thought I was healthy. This is a common theme, too, folks. This is not something unusual. And then at 28, I'm in his office and he's laying down a powerful question. Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? And with higher reasoning, if you take that apart, what was my part? What choices did I make, consciously or unconsciously, to get me into that situation? And I can assure you, I ate plenty of junk food. I ate plenty of things that were not considered health food, or even eating healthfully, meaning mindfully. And a lot of emotional immaturity and a lot of behaviors that manifested or could have contributed to my particular situation. I just break it down into two things. I was living a very ignorant and arrogant life. I was not connected to the source of life. I was not connected to the joy that we bring into this world as little infants. They're bundles of joy. They're already there, they're already happy. So, with that powerful question, it set me on a course in Life University to answer that question. And the first thing I have to share, and I shared it in the previous podcast, what are we curing? One of the things I know, I acknowledged or accepted, I accepted that chemotherapy doesn't answer that question. How did you get into the business of cancer? I didn't take enough chemotherapy or radiation. Right, doesn't answer the question. So it's not really going after the cure or the causation for the cure. So the first thing I did was establish the philosophy that cancer is not even a disease, it's just an expression of creation. Uncomfortable, yeah, there's many things that are uncomfortable that people are creating. Does that mean they're all diseases? Nope, not in the least. So, if cancer is not a disease based on my own framework for me to navigate this crazy world, then what might it be? Well, it's an expression of the one disease. And in episode two, What Are We Curing? I shared with you a book, Never Be Sick Again by Raymond Francis. And he said that there's only one disease, and that's cellular malfunction. Your cell, or a large number of your cells, aren't working properly. There's only two main causes: deficiency and toxicity. Something's missing in your life, and you have to let go of something in your life in order for you to grow towards healthier and more loving experiences. He laid out that there were six pathways in which he claims, back when he was writing it, nutrition. Duh. Everyone knows that what you eat can contribute to health and well-being, or it can take away. It's either going to put money in the bank, or it's going to take money out of the bank. And general toxicity, and that's usually coming from environmental toxins, biological toxins. The list goes on. I mean, if you just Google toxicity, I mean, there's so many chemicals in our environment all around you, in your house. You're breathing it in right now, and your body's a filter for those. And those toxins are going to require nutrients to process. You got metabolic waste too, that's just created just from general living that needs to be addressed. But now you have all this inundation from modern living that's causing more and more stress on the bodies. It's no wonder why so many people are coming in contact with chronic degenerative disease, even at earlier ages now. He also says that psychological, you don't think there's people with psychological challenges or psychological toxicity? How many people you know are just gossiping and around about everything, as though everything is a fact, but it's basically their emotional opinion? I do know for me, my psychological state and emotional state were major, I repeat, major contributors to the potentiation of some sort of chronic problem in my life. Whether it was going to be at 28 or 60, it didn't matter. I had very little emotional literacy. I could read a book, but I couldn't read my heart. That's our educational system, by the way, right? And psychologically, I had beliefs that were built on a lie, like I had truths that were built on a lie. And if a truth is built on a lie, how will you ever question it? The only thing you're going to do is keep trying to validate your truth, even though it was built on a lie. That powerful question that Dr. Lawrence Cloud gave me, Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? Opened me up that everything needs to be questioned. Everything. Everyone and everything needs to be questioned and put through some sort of scrutiny and positive self-doubt. That's why it's taken me 20 something years of distillation of my experience of how I supposedly cured my terminal cancer so that I can come here and have some truth for you. I mean, I put my own belief system through quite a bit of self-reflection. And what I did back in 2000, or even when that question was presented to me in 1994, since that time, I have put my principal philosophy through my own mind, and through the minds of others for distillation, so that you can take what you want from me and see what resonates with you. And hopefully I can reach into your own mind and heart so that you can start to create your miracle. Because if you created your illness, if you take responsibility for creating your illness and your diseases and your current state of health, then you have an opportunity to create your wellness. The other pathway that Raymond Francis expresses is physical. I'm not sure what he meant by that, but physical means if you have old injuries that were not rehabilitated properly, they feed into your system as pain, and that pain requires more nourishment, more self-care. He also says genetics. Well, some people believe genetics are responsible for a lot of problems in a person's life. I do know this. Everyone is born with predispositions, yet it takes precipitating factors to exacerbate those genetic predispositions. What are those precipitating factors? If you remove the precipitating factors, and perhaps if you start adding in lifestyle factors that builds health and builds emotional literacy towards emotional intelligence, might we actually start to create positive mutations in our genetic expression? Meaning we take a bad genetic expression and we actually turn it around and we make a positive change. And that is why I align with Bruce Lipton's work and beyond the biology of a belief, where he really does an amazing job of talking that there is something much bigger than our genetics. And that is, of course, epigenetics, the study of epigenetics. And lastly, the last pathway, the sixth one, is medical intervention. So let's not get on my case about medicine has created miracles. Well, let's just say my stance is they couldn't figure out my cancer, and there's a lot of smart people in that industry that were working on my behalf to help me cure my cancer, supposedly, or to manage my disease. And now that I'm 25 years past that mark, or 20 years, or whatever you want to call it, how come none of them have contacted me to see what was it in me, or what was I doing that helped me create my miracle? Why aren't they reaching out to find out what I was doing? Here's why, because it involves two things, nutrition and movement. It involves nutrition and movement and a big picture holistic approach. I also add in detoxification and dialogue, like the dialogue we're having right now. You have to start to dialogue and open up a conversation through self-reflection so you can connect to the source of your life, to the source of what you are in spirit and who you are in personality and who you are in your own character, both your strengths and your shortcomings. And then to seek what you love to do for the sake of doing it in this world. So that was that book. That's what I expressed in a little bit. And incidentally, there's another book that sort of mirrors what Raymond Francis wrote about. And this book is called The Chronic Stress Crisis by Dr. Bill Timmons, or William Timmons is his author name. Bill Timmons is as I knew him. I had the privilege of working with Dr. Timmons back in 2005, 2006 for a little while. And we had some heart-to-heart conversations because he was working. He was an amazing human being that understood doing the cure. He would love that. He understood it. And he had his own model that he created over many years from, I guess, rising up out of the ashes of his own illnesses and challenges, physical challenges. He had a lot of trouble with chemical toxicity. His whole system shut down. He was a boy in a bubble. He couldn't do much of anything. He had to live in the desert, for God's sake, because he was so allergic to a lot of things in modern life. And this was a long time ago. But he pulled himself up and he created a remarkable amount of protocols and assessment processes to help people reverse their chronic illnesses. So in his book, he shares that there's one disease, folks. There's only one. All right. And it comes from the deviation when you deviate from homeostasis. So what is homeostasis? Well, homeostasis is that beautiful place of vitality and health. It's a state of internal balance. In his book on page 25, here, I just pulled it out. I just had to find it. Where does health end and illness begin? Homeostasis is a condition of dynamic equilibrium inside the body. The body is in a balanced state of being. In other words, it is healthy. It is programmed for health. That's why we have pain. Pain is a sign that we're not in balance, and hopefully the pain's great enough so that you can say, oh, I better make better choices. The tissues receive an adequate and constant level of oxygen and nutrients at the cellular level, and all systems function in harmony. See, that's what Raymond Francis said, didn't he? At the cellular level, cellular malfunction, where it has a deficiency, and that deficiency creates an excess of something that's harmful. And he's expressing one of nature's basic laws, the law of balance. Nature always seeks balance and is always in balance. And when you're in balance, when a cell is in balance, it can communicate and create harmony with other cells. That's the same with me. If I'm in balance and I feel like vibrant and vital and well rested, it's so easy to get along in life. Life is easier and more joyful. And the small stuff just can't penetrate, can't get to me. And that's the second law of nature is harmony, the law of harmony. So right there in that one statement that Dr. Timmons was talking about, he's talking about those two basic laws. And I've shared that if you want to reduce, eliminate your risk of chronic degenerative disease as part of your human experience, then you have to start learning to live more in accordance with nature's laws and your true authentic nature. The nervous system is even-keeled, and all other physiological processes are finely tuned for vitality and resistance to disease. All is well when one is in homeostasis, he further states on that page. All is well in homeostasis. So once we deviate away from homeostasis, he calls that stage one. That's where illness starts. Cell malfunctions, as Raymond Francis puts it. This is the first stage of the disorder. He calls it a disorder. He doesn't call it dis-ease, but you are at some very subtle level inside you, you are at not at ease. Because homeostasis is when you are at ease. So the natural response for you when you deviate from homeostasis, the natural response and yearning is to get back into homeostasis. That's the yearning. That's probably why you're on this podcast right now, listening to me, is because there's a yearning to be well, to feel good, to have energy, to have vitality and youthfulness in body and in mind, of course. But if you are not able to hear the subtle messages and meet your true needs to bring you to homeostasis, then you're going to continue on with the lifestyle habits that you've been doing for a while, which are going to bring you further away from homeostasis. You see, the pain isn't great enough, so the pain has to get louder. So you drift into the second stage of deviation from homeostasis, or the second stage of the disorder or disease or not being at ease. And Dr. Bill Timmons calls that the pathophysiological stage. The functional changes that accompany a particular syndrome or disease. So this is where there are some subclinical signs, if you know how to see them or assess for them. And Dr. Bill Timmons was a pioneer in functional medicine and functional medicine assessment especially. And this is where they aim to try and assess people, is what's the causation of the disorder of this loss of homeostasis. So normal biochemical functions are disturbed and tissues and organs are beginning to compensate. So you're making more compensations, but you're not listening. You might hear them subtly. You might experience them very subtly, but they're not that bad. They're not as bad as, you know, your friend's arthritis who's in serious pain, or it's not cancer. It's not a heart disease. It's not, you know, obesity and diabetes yet. I can tolerate it. I'll just keep living my life and I'll try and crowd out that knowing. I'll try to crowd out that listening. I'll try and suppress it a little bit longer for some other day. But really, what you're doing is going back into that lifestyle and you're creating more pain for yourself. In other words, just because you're not listening, the pain has to get greater. Therefore, you deviate away from homeostasis further into stage three. Stage three deviation from homeostasis, that beautiful place that you're yearning for, is called the pathomorphological state, or it's referred to that in Dr. Timmons' book. Changes in the structure of your body accelerate. Oh my God, why are so many things happening to me now? Why is there so many compensations happening? Why is this hurt? Why does that hurt? Why is this happening? How come I have this? That's because it's been going on for quite a while. And you have been willfully disciplined in self-abuse. You've been willfully loyal to a culture that upholds it and validates self-abuse. And if you're the crazy one like me who wants to take care of his health and his mind and his love, then I'm the oddball. I'm the tree hugger. I'm the whatever other, I guess, belittling comments people can make. So you're in stage three deviation. Now you're complaining about them. Complaining them internally. You might not complain to someone else if you're someone that just internalizes. So you might just be complaining internally a lot and put on a great social mask that everything is okay. You'll get through it. That means you're pretty tough. And you're loyal to a program of lifestyle habits of self-abuse. So you're going to continue those same habits. And that's just going to allow you to drift into the next stage. Quietly, gently. Stage four, symptomology. That's where symptoms are now there. They're right at the surface. Now the doctors, your medical doctor has something to work with. Before that, it's all in your head, of course. And if you're complaining internally, that actually creates more stress too, because you need dialogue with someone else to start to get to this place of like, what can I do? I want my yearn to be better. And maybe you are in dialogue with someone. Maybe you do have a psychologist, social worker, a therapist, someone that you're talking to. And it's talking. It's not really dealing with those lifestyle habits. Nutrition, movement, detoxification, and dialogue with yourself, your true self, that part of you that knows what you need to do, the part of you that knows what your needs are, knows what it need, even know what you need to do to meet those needs, but you're afraid. I get it. Because others might not like the idea that you're going to get healthier than they are. So they'll help sabotage you. Stage four, symptomology. The doctors intervene here and they manage the symptoms. And it's like Vegas. Some people get better. Most people don't. A few people win in Vegas and most people lose. Vegas was built on losers, right? Remember what I said, the medical model had a lot of smart people, a lot of compassionate people too, to help me with my particular cancer in the treatments. And many of them were gracious about it. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't that they were impolite or rude. In fact, I had some amazing human beings at my side, as far as the nurses are concerned, and I'll bring in some stories about that down the road. But they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't cure my cancer. So if they couldn't cure it and now I'm cancer free, then I have something to share. But why aren't they reaching out to find out what I did? Why wouldn't they be calling me? Why wouldn't they be curious at least? It's not their products or services. Their product or services is not to cure necessarily. Their product is, unless they had a product or service that could really cure someone that was patented, right? Let's face it, the medical model has its strengths, it has its weaknesses like everything else. But what I want you to know is that, or bring about, Dan, how did you get into the business of cancer? That was the question Dr. Lawrence Cloud presented with me. And we should know that cancer is a business. Medicine is a business. The whole system is a business, right? And they're offering a product and service. And that product and service is trying to meet a need of society. And they have marketing. And that marketing is to market to people that they have a product and service to take away or their symptoms or deal with their problems. But what does every business like? Repeat customers. Loyal customers. And I'll leave it at that. You can think about that while I cough. Cough up something. So now if you're in stage four, you're really struggling to get back to the next, that stage three. You want to move in the direction of health and become close to homeostasis, but you've made a lot of compensations along the way, and there's a lot of compensatory damage inside the system of your body, your organs, your glands, you know, even tissues. And now, the thing that's required to lift you up out of your stage is energy, but you don't have the energy. This is the predicament you face. So, you know, how do you navigate it? How do you get it back? And I have to say is you just got to be consistent and start learning and doing and learning and doing and learning and assessing and questioning and doing. It's all about the practice and putting things into play. And if you don't, then you just slip into the last stage of disease or illness, and that stage is death. And I'm not talking about the instant heart attack death. It's like an abrupt ending. If you notice, death can last 20 years, 30 years in people. That stage could be a very long, painful, drawn out scenario. And that phase can take a lot of other people with them, meaning draining a lot more people of their own life force to try and manage that person's death and dying. or dying and death, I should say. Just look, people. People are not living more. They're not alive. They're merely existing. Therefore, they're just dying longer. And there is products and services in the medical model that'll keep you existing. And don't get me wrong, they don't want you to die. They want you to exist for as long as possible. It doesn't matter the quality of life that you're experiencing. They just want you to be a customer for life. Excuse me again. I think I'm having some fall allergies, or maybe something's coming up. I don't know. Body wants to cough it out. So that's Dr. Bill Timmons' work and his framework from his illness. And I know Raymond Francis had his own illness that he came up and created his own framework. The chronic stress crisis, you know, he says there's one disease. Basically, it's a deviation from homeostasis, or that beautiful place that we might call the kingdom of heaven, the Garden of Eden, the realm of permanence, if you're on that spiritual plane. And then we deviate out of that. So because we're not living from the tree of life, we start living from the tree of knowledge. We enter into our mind stuff. And from there, we just keep deviating and losing connection. You know, depression is loss of connection. And you withdraw from society. And it's a necessary thing to withdraw from society so you can self-reflect and journal and reclaim your connection to yourself and to your God and to your true nature. And stop making impactful choices for yourself. That's, you know, depression gives you that opportunity because it's withdrawing energy from society. It's not an illness per se, because there's only one illness. We all have it to a more or less a degree. It's a loss of cell it's loss of cell function. It's malfunctioning. You're toxic and you're malnourished. And if you start the process of nourishing yourself, finding ways to nourish yourself, and you have to nourish yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And you have to detoxify physiologically. You have to detoxify emotionally. Detoxify those belief systems that are self-limiting, incriminating, self-abusive. You got to look at them and change them. Or find out how they're serving you. And spiritually, you know, a lot of people have the notion that karma plays a role. So start doing some great things for yourself and for other people. Just for the sake of doing something great for another person. So both of these authors created their framework. I'm creating my own framework. That framework is under this podcast, Do the Cure. The cure exists if you persist. And if you want to understand it from a very basic level, it's just do the cure is preventing it from occurring. But if you're in the disease state now with symptoms of illness or diagnoses of illness, which are just symptoms, then you have to do more than just what it would take to prevent it. You have to double down or triple down or quadruple down on your efforts. So my framework is the main frame of the framework is basically nutrition and movement. And now I add in detoxification, appropriate detoxification, and some kind of dialogue. Remember, journaling is dialogue. You're having a dialogue right now. We've been dialoguing for about 35 minutes now, almost 40 minutes together. You're always in dialogue with yourself, driving to work, at home. You're always in dialogue. So become aware of that dialogue. Become aware of those inner thoughts. Become aware of those feelings. And start to change the dialogue. Change the dialogue, change the story. Thank you for listening to episode 3, recorded on sound recorder here at my little apartment on my Microsoft PC here. Took me three attempts. I hope this one works. For more information about me, you can visit my YouTube channel under Dan Hegerich. You can visit my website, danhegerich.com. If you liked this podcast, if you sifted through this and you got something, if it touched you, if it reached you in some way, then please share it with me. I want you to make a comment because that gives me fuel, because we're both co-creators in this process, I think. If you want, you can follow my Facebook page, Dan Hegerich, and Instagram, and all these social media outlets that my nephew Kevin is helping me to organize and orchestrate so that we can maybe shift the society from doing disease, dysfunction, and delusion to doing the cure, which means we can all become healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than we were yesterday by the actions we did today. Until we meet, keep your body tuned up and soul tuned in.